argument this morning is Odumoco against Gonzalez. Mr. Oyemi.
Thank you, Judge. My name is Olushola Oyemi. I appear for the petitioner, Uchenna Odumoco. This is a petition for review, to review the decision of the immigration court denying asylum to the petitioner. The issue in this case, Judge, is whether the immigration judge properly evaluated the petitioner's claim. Uchenna is a native and citizen of Nigeria. He left his country in June of 2002 for fear of being killed by religious cult members in his native country. He is claiming asylum based on his religious belief and membership in a particular social group. Uchenna suffered persecution, past persecution as a result of his religion. He's a Christian, and when he was in Nigeria, he was living in the northern part of Nigeria, which is predominantly Muslim. There was a religious uprising in the northern part of the country led by a fanatical Muslim sect in 1991. His family home was attacked and was burnt down. He lost his father and he lost one of his brothers in that attack. And as he was trying to run away from that attack, he became permanently disabled, Judge. The immigration judge at the immigration court wrongly determined that Odumoco did not make religious persecution in his asylum application. And this is not true. In the asylum application, he marked religion and membership in a particular social group. So the judge wrongly determined that he did not make religious claim in his asylum application. So he came to a wrong conclusion.
What is the significance of the fact that the agency did not believe your client's brother either, and we upheld that determination?
Yes, Judge. The difference in the two cases is that...
Aren't we required to come to the same conclusion here?
Well, Judge, there are two grounds there, Judge. The first one is the religious aspect of the claim. The second ground is membership in a particular social group. And that was what this court decided upon. The agency did not look at the religious aspect of the claim at the immigration court level. They decided the brother's case based on membership in a particular social group. And the distinguishing factor here is that he has another claim, which is religious claim. And as a matter of fact,
it's the same claim. That is, he purports to fear the same organization. He just says he has another reason for not liking this organization. But if there is no reason to fear the organization, that was the holding in his brother's case.
Well, Judge,
it seems very strange that one could get asylum and the other not.
There are two grounds. The brother was denied because we could not establish that aspect of being a member of a particular social group. The religious aspect of the other brother case, which Uchenna in this case, is based on the fact that he suffered past persecution from the hands of a Muslim fanatic in 1991. The senior brother did not allege that ground in his own application. His own ground was based on the fact that he was running away from another religious sect in the eastern part of the country called the Mboko. It's a secret cult in that part of the country. The junior brother's claim is based on that, and also in addition to that, he is claiming that he was actually attacked by a Muslim religious sect in the northern part of the country in 1991. That is a distinguishing factor between the two cases, Judge. And the immigration judge...
They have no connection?
They have no connection, Judge.
So these are
Judge.
Completely separate, you're talking
Yes, Judge.
What connection do any of them have to the government?
Excuse me, Judge.
Is there some government connection here? You say there's some, well, maybe they didn't believe him or didn't enforce the law or something or other, but it seems to me all this religious cult, whatever it is something that is basically, I guess it's outlawed, but nevertheless it's not the government that's doing this, and I think there has to be at least some connection, doesn't there?
That is very correct, Judge. The issue in Nigeria is that the government could not enforce the law over there. It is the law that they outlawed, but they are still existing. It's a secret court. Nobody knows the way they operate. And they still molest the people over there. They come out, they attack the people that are on the other side. And the government is unable to do anything to protect the citizen. If it's on the eastern part or the western part, which is classified as the southern part of Nigeria, they have this problem of the secret court, which is like a family-based secret court. The northern part, the problem that they have there is Muslim and Christian. So they organize themselves into cults, and they will be attacking the Christians. They will just come out probably on a Friday, and they just start setting houses ablaze. And this was exactly what happened in 1991 when Uchenna was injured. He suffered injury. And in asylum cases, Judge, if you can establish that you suffered past persecution, that is enough for you to be able to get asylum.
Counsel,
yes, Judge.
What proof do you have that that the cult operates throughout Nigeria, as you contend?
Well, that is the other aspect of the claim, Judge, which this court had already pronounced upon. We are not talking about the Boko, which we are claiming in that brief that operates in the whole country. But this claim, that the other aspect of the claim, which I'm bringing forth to this court, is the attack of 1991, where Uchenna suffered past persecution.
What's his proof of future persecution?
Yes, if he suffered past persecution,
about something 6 years ago.
There is the presumption that he can still suffer future persecution, because if he goes back to the country, he might still be attacked. And as a matter of fact, there's nowhere for him to run. He can't go back to the northern part of
all
the country.
All over Nigeria, that assumption is applicable?
He cannot go back to the northern part of the country because of the fear of the fanatical Muslim groups over there, and he cannot go back to the eastern part because of his fear of the Mboko cult that still exists in the eastern part of the country, Judge.
Is there anybody safe in Nigeria?
There are people that are safe in Nigeria.
I just find that it's basically the government can't control this. It's sort of an outlaw group that doesn't seem to be restrained. And so that means just people that are opposite them. I don't know how they pick out who they're going to attack, but they seem to be, well, I guess it's selective. It just seems that this is awfully hard to focus on as persecution in this group. I don't. Is it isolated, or is it all over the place, or is it? It seems this is kind of a focused group here.
Yes, it's all over the place, Judge. It depends on which side you are. If you're in the northern part of the country and you're a Christian,
so it's where you live.
It's where you live.
Which ones are after you, huh?
Yes, Judge. You can be attacked by the Muslim. And the southern part of the country, we have the Sugoni cult. They are fighting for their own right in their land over there. If you are from the northern part, they can attack you. And the government, they don't have any control over these cults.
What proof did you offer to this effect?
Well, Judge, at the lower court level, we submitted documentation to establish the fact that this group really exists in Nigeria. We submitted an article written by a professor of history from a college in Nigeria, which was admitted in evidence.
Did you present anything else besides one professor's article?
We also presented letters from people living over there. And there was another gentleman that came to testify to corroborate his testimony regarding that aspect of his...
And what did the court find concerning his death?
The court just said that he did not make religious claim as part of his grant for asylum. And the fact that the brother's claim was already denied based on the fact that he is a member of a particular social group, the judge just denied his claim. That will be all, Judge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Counsel. Ms. Blyer.
May it please the Court, Your Honors. My name is Robin Blyer. I represent the Attorney General in this matter. As you've already indicated, his brother previously had a case before this court, and he was found incredible based on a similar type claim. The agency found that petitioner did not meet his burden in this case. He did not provide specific or detailed testimony or evidence regarding his claims. The IJ specifically found him incredible on page 51 of the record. The IJ found that petitioner did not explain why the cult had waited 5 years after his two brothers had left by 1997 to pursue him. He did not explain why his uncle, who was allegedly a member of this cult, could no longer protect him. His father was able to relocate in Nigeria and was not inducted into this group for over 30 years, and he died not ever being a member of this group. The only evidence submitted regarding the membership of the cult, document-wise, was the University of Calabar document, which indicates that upon the death of a current priest, the deity picks a first son from families in the village to serve him. It should be noted that, first of all, petitioner didn't live in, I believe it's Umaya, I'm probably mispronouncing the name, the village of Umaya, where all of this was taking place. He had resided in Jos, again, sorry about the pronouncement, and then later in Lagos, and he was able to live untouched during those times. He lived for till 2002 in Lagos before coming here, and there's the only indication that he had of any problems was in January, February, and March of 2002 when he was visited by these people, allegedly members of the cult, and he was only threatened on the last time, saying that it would get quote-unquote hot for him if he did not join them. But there's no indication that he couldn't avoid or move somewhere else in Nigeria. His father was able to do it for more than 30 years and not have any problems. The article that he did submit doesn't explain how his father was able to, how he or his son were able to avoid these problems, or why the son started to have the problems in 2002 period. His brother-in-law did testify on his behalf, but it didn't do anything to enhance his claims. His testimony contradicted petitioners somewhat, and his evidence was based on secondhand information from members of petitioner's family. With regard to his religious claim, the only claim of religious persecution he offers is that in 1991, while working, there was a riot or something to that sort, civil strife, and he went running towards his home because his father used to hold some sort of religious services in their home. On his way there, he came across a group of Muslims who, he said, started to chase him. He eventually fell in a ditch and broke his hip. That is the sum total of his religious claim. The immigration judge found that this one incident didn't amount to persecution. Additionally, the cult's attempt to induct him, if it's true, was not persecution. He was threatened, but unfulfilled threats do not constitute persecution. To the extent he claims he was a member of this particular social group, the evidence, if it's to be believed, is only firstborn sons who are inducted into this group. Petitioner is a third son of a second son, so there's no indication that he would be a member of this particular group, and the immigration judge and the board found that he was not such a member.
Does this require any kind of, I go back to this government thing, government acquiescence, inability, or something, that this cult seems to operate without restriction or restraint from the government? Is that why this can be labeled persecution, or at least claimed to be?
Well, Your Honor, there's no indication that he was... He indicated on the record that the cult was illegal and that any of their induction type things, like kidnapping children from other towns, would be illegal. So it's unclear how much the Nigerian government knows. The record doesn't really say anything about it. The country reports are devoid of any mention of cults at all. There are several country reports in the record. None of them indicate anything about secret cults or anything like that. that would indicate that the government is not trying to protect these people. It's unclear how much knowledge of these the government actually has.
Well, isn't that at least some kind of a nexus required?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, he would have to show that the government's involved in this.
Where has he?
Other he hasn't. Than,
well, you know, I the reason I bring this up, it just seems that it's a bad place to live, and these are bad people. They're outlaws, but a country that just has outlaws that do things, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's, I'll call it official persecution, which is what this asylum is all about. You can't retreat from outlaws.
That's correct. You know, but, I mean, he hasn't shown, the evidence doesn't compel a different conclusion. Nothing on this record shows that he would be harmed if he returned to Nigeria. As indicated previously, his father was able to avoid this for 30 years, and nothing happened to him.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to indicate that he couldn't do the same. Moreover, while there was some speculation that the father's brother was able to provide some sort of protection for him because he was a member of the cult, in other testimony, petitioner indicated that he wasn't positive that the uncle was a member of this cult, and it's not clear that there was any intervention by this uncle to protect the father. So, you know, it's clear that petitioner may be able to go back without even having some sort of protector, such as his uncle.
Ma'am, you say in your brief on page 24 that this court had affirmed the board's order for the removal of the petitioner's brother. However, in the opinion of the judge, he merely says that the case was on review in this court. Do you know the outcome of that case? Has it been decided? If so, can you give us a citation of it?
The citation is 188 Federal Appendix 479.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, yes.
188. It would have been nice had the parties provided us that information in their briefs. We had to go find it.
188 Federal.
A little difficult to find since the surname used by the brother is Johnson, which seems to have no overlap whatsoever with the names being used by this alien.
Do you still need it, Your Honor? 188 Federal Appendix 479.
I got the answer, Judge Estira.
Oh, okay.
We are both sorry that neither of you provided this.
If there are no further questions, we would ask that the court deny the petition for review.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, counsel? Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.